Iowa Contemporary Art presents
Icon Art Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Teeple of Icon, and I'm here with Donna Colby and Alan Cobb. And we're discussing the art walk that occurred just a few days ago. And the big event of the art walk seemed to be what was happening at Icon. And it was a mask event. Let's have some comment from you guys about this thing. I could go on and on about it.
I thought it was incredible. I mean... When I first came to Fairfield 5 years ago, Gallery 51 was, you know, just getting momentum going, and I was always amazed at how many people would go up two flights of stairs and, you know, stand around in that place, which often didn't have any air moving, and it was so crowded you couldn't get from one room to the next, and it was very impressive. And yesterday at the art walk, it was even more impressive. That space is huge compared to Gallery 51, and it was full. I mean, it was standing room only.
And everybody was fairly comfortable, too, with that many people. It wasn't, they weren't all gasping for breath.
Yeah, no, it was very nice. The high ceilings are great.
And people were making their way systematically around the room to look at every single mask. I myself actually went around five times very methodically to choose which mask I was going to bid on. And then somebody outbid me within 10 minutes and it got exciting. You know, I went back and picked out another one. But I just thought there was something playful and animated about these faces all around you, you know, in this gallery space. Yeah. There was just... Yeah. I never really thought about masks that way before, other than Halloween parties and all, but masks as art, it really struck me at the art walk how wonderful that is and how it makes people feel good to look at them.
Yeah, it's a fascinating phenomenon because, you know, you're playing with the human face, and I don't know what portion of the brain is devoted to the facial discrimination, but it's a huge chunk of physiology. And so anything you do to a mask is an important thing. I mean, it's a major statement. It's like, you know, if you have a pimple on your face, it can ruin your life. and here are people with brushes and many colors and leaves and feathers and beads and, you know, spikes and all kinds of things, doing things to faces. And then on the other hand, anything that's bilaterally symmetrical with a pair of dots somewhere is a face. Mm. So it gives you an opportunity to do trivial things that have great import from a graphics or design point of view. But it's also a blank canvas, and you can get as far into it as you want.
Well, let's say a little bit about how this all came about. Marcia Hansen, who runs Icon 2 Gallery, is a party person that loves Halloween. In fact, she's almost obsessively fanatical about Halloween, and we're going to have her on our next show, I believe the next show or a couple shows, talking about this upcoming Halloween party that she's designing, a designer Halloween party. But she thought artists should make masks, and people should maybe buy them as a fundraiser, and they can wear their masks to the Halloween party. So I thought, well, that's fine. We can ask all the artists to make masks, and they'd all have great intentions of making beautiful masks, but maybe they would make them, maybe they wouldn't, and maybe the time would run out and all of that. So I decided to have mask-making parties at Icon, where I spread out all sorts of materials, all the materials that Jan and I could both buy and dig out of our closets and lay on tables for people to glue with all these hot guns that we purchased onto mask blanks that we got from various sources. And I was blown away by the response. Not only did all of the artists that we called up invite come down, or many of them did, but we were also inviting friends and anybody who kind of fell through the door to come on in and play with masks. And everyone it touched a chord in people.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure this out.
Well, there were 15 or 20 people at a time doing masks. And I think if there'd been more room, there would have been more people.
Yeah, we were running out of hot guns and everything.
And I kept meeting people who said, oh, I didn't know anyone could come in and do that. You know, I thought that was just for the people in Bill's class or something. So you're going to be doing this now going forward.
Well, what happened was on the last week, people were begging me to open up again because we were headed towards this mask auction, which we had at the Art Walk. People begged me to open up again on Sunday so they could come back because we were doing this on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then they begged me again to open up on Wednesday night so they could finish off more masks. And then they were begging me to keep it going. And so I'm going to have the studio open every Saturday. We'll have to do a little organizing of this from 1 to 4, where anyone can come in and play with mass materials and have this experience. And
does that start this Saturday, or when does that?
It starts this Saturday.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's great.
Because, I mean, to me, I came the last two times, and I was so surprised at how thrilling it was to do this. And for me as a mother, it was almost like giving birth to a little creature, because anytime you draw a face, but especially on a mask where it's three-dimensional, it takes on a personality.
Yeah.
And, you know, with just a few lines, it takes on a personality, and you're interacting with this thing, and you may want to change the expression on the face. And one thing I noticed at the Art Walk was it seemed to generate a lot of conversation, not just about masks, but maybe having all these faces around them made people just feel more like socializing or something. They always do at the Art Walk anyway, but I noticed a lot of people just even sitting on the floor for long periods of time having lengthy conversations with all these masks around them.
Yeah. Well, I think it made the gallery into, you know, a fun sort of sociable place to be.
Yeah.
Instead of whispering, you know, you're looking at all these crazed faces, and some of them are very, you know, kind of serious art, and others are totally whimsical, and others are, you know, kind of ludicrous. And it just, you know, brings out a very loose kind of interaction among people. And that's unusual for an art gallery.
Well, it's making me rethink ICON, and we will think together. Alan is the president of the board of ICON, and now we're going to have a board meeting about all this, because I don't know. Eric Randall and Shannon, who's an artist, it's a gallery artist from Iowa City, sent me an email, and they were saying, this experience they had the other night shows that ICON is this spiritual, emotional, all these layers of value that ICON is to the community and the Art Walk.
Yeah.
And I'm reeling a little bit from all of this in determining how I can allow this thing that's sort of being given birth right now to blossom, because my background is the very sophisticated, snooty, high art elitist kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a very egalitarian as an individual, and I really like to collect everyone up and include everyone.
Yeah.
So I've got my job ahead.
Well, the mask thing struck me as kind of an amazing blend of your teaching style with just a community event that had nothing overtly to do with teaching at all. But
it was like a tribal art event too. You know, you get, when you see movies of people doing like tribal dances and things like that, and there's this energy generated, it's spontaneous art. I felt that at the mask making, that people were interacting with each other on some kind of more primal way or something, making these masks. And
during
very
the
uninhibited.
Making,
they weren't so much thinking about, like, quote, making art.
Or am I any good? This was transcending.
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, nobody cared whether they were any good or not. You know, they realized once, I mean, people were inhibited before they came. I talked to people who were saying, well, I wouldn't be able to make a mask in 3 hours, you know, or something like that. But once they were there, you know, it was obvious that the atmosphere was just playful. It was, let's do stuff. And people did stuff that looked serious, but they had fun doing it. And other people did stuff that looked goofy. And, you know, it didn't have anything to do with is this art or am I an artist? Or, you know, what is art? Or is this legitimate? Or is it any good? Or his mask is better than my mask. It was so obvious somehow that all of those issues were irrelevant.
And they were all good. It's like, as I was going around, it was like really hard for me to decide which, because I couldn't afford to bid on, you know, 10 of them. And so it was really hard for me to
Well, I think the secret is it's hard to go wrong with a mask.
Yeah.
You know, you take a mask and turn around and throw stuff over your shoulder at it. It'll still be a human face once it's done, and it'll be powerful.
Can I make a practical point, too? Because you were talking about the original idea was to sell the masks to wear at the Halloween party, but it's sort of expanded into a bigger purpose. It's a fundraiser for ICON, but the masks, you don't have to wear them to the Halloween party. You don't have to wear them at all. You can just hang them on some of them, in fact, don't even have eye masks.
I'd love to see someone wear the ones I have.
They're meant to be displayed or hung on the wall. Yeah, so it's an amazing opportunity to buy original art for not very much money and to help the new gallery space.
I think most people are actually buying them for their walls, for decoration.
Because they're cool,
Because every one of them is a very cool art piece,
mm-hmm.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
And I immediately, when she said, make masks for the Halloween party, I went in the direction of, I want people to come in here and make masks for whatever reason, with whatever subject matter.
Yeah.
And so we've got some that are for wearing and some that are more decorative. But I think more people were buying them for decorative purposes. Because they are so such strong images and decorative pieces.
And you know, a sort of double entendre in all of this is that a mask is an icon.
that's right. True, really.
Absolutely.
So
the ultimate.
When can they come? Like, what are the hours when people can come in?
We have the gallery open, even though the icon isn't officially open, because the whole idea of this fundraising we're doing over these next months is to raise money to pay for the remodeling. So we'll probably be putting up a curtain before in a few weeks or a month or so, and then doing our remodeling. But for now, for the next 2 weeks, we will be having the gallery open from 1 to 4, Monday through Saturday, for people to come in and view the masks and make a bid. And then on Saturday, October 21st, we're going to have a final bidding party. Because I know a lot of people are saying they're not going to bid now, they're going to wait till the last day so they can be sure to get the masks they want. So I know that's going to be quite a fun party. So we're going to make it a party and bring in food and all of that.
Of course, the last day bidding, if there's five people waiting till the last day to bid on one mask, it'll be fun to watch them all crowding around the mask.
And I was, I mean, we're working this out right on the air. I don't know. But I was, on eBay, they have a deadline. The time is up. But I'm thinking that if it's 4 o'clock and there's two people, people might take another 10 minutes for two people to come to a conclusion about a particular mask.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, far be it from us to stand in the way of
hitting each other. Well, I already know one person who has decided which masks he wants and where they're going to go in his office. And so he's going to be there and bid whatever it takes to get those masks.
I noticed one little war going on with one particular mask where there was a name when I first looked, somebody else, and then 10 minutes later, the first one had his name again, and it was, you know, it was already happening Friday night. And I ran into somebody down the street who said, I just bid on the mask you bid on. You better go check it out if you want it. And I went back, and she wanted it so much, I didn't have the heart to take it again, so I went and found another one that I liked and bid on that one.
Well, we might mention that I started them. These things, if we start to look at them as works of art and start to take ourselves serious as mask makers of these works of art, they're easily worth $200 or $300 each in an art gallery, because you'll go into a gift shop and see this kind of thing for that kind of price in the big city. But I wanted to sell them all, if at all possible. I wanted to sell a lot of masks, so I started the bidding for most of the masks, unless they're quite elaborate, at $25. Mm-hmm. So any gift you buy for a birthday at some gift shop is going to cost you more than that. And these are really, I mean, beautiful works of art.
We're turning into an infomercial.
Okay.
So let's talk about...
I'm just trying to demonstrate self-awareness.
About hanging masks on wall, like in being surrounded by them in the gallery, I imagined the effect of having masks on my wall in my little studio at home or in my kitchen or whatever. And it was reflecting on mask art in general and the effect it has. Like certain masks, you look at them and they immediately make you feel playful. Mm-hmm. They just take away your overly serious nature. So maybe that would be like somebody who tends to work too hard at his desk could have a mask above the desk that reminds him to be playful. You know, there's...
Well, we could start a philosophical discussion here. They are iconic.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you walk into the temple of Athena or you walk into the temple of Aphrodite, those qualities that are associated with that particular value of intelligence become enlivened in you.
Yeah.
So when you put an iconic mask on your wall that carries particular qualities of intelligence, that's going to be enlivened in the room. It's going to have its effect.
I think so. Also, there was some interesting research on people studying facial expressions and in collecting photographs of all possible human facial expressions. They had some, you know, face talent people who were good at moving individual muscles and, you know, grimacing their faces in specific ways, even ways that weren't necessarily expressions. And they found that after one of these face models or actors had spent a few minutes holding the muscles that we associate with negative emotions, even if the expression wasn't a real expression, just pulling the corners of your mouth down, that after a few minutes of doing that and then switching to another bunch of muscles and another bunch of muscles, all of which had to do with negative facial expressions, after a while, they began to feel bad. At the end of the photography session, they felt exhausted and depressed and irritated and unhappy. And the exact opposite happened when they were exercising the muscles that pull the corners of your mouth up or squint your eyes or, you know, wrinkle your forehead and stuff. So even just putting the face into some of these expressions has an immediate impact on your inner, you know, state of mind. Mm-hmm. So having them in the room is an interesting thing, whether it's a reminder not to have that state of mind, or
right.
Of course, I suppose what I've just said means we should only have masks of, you know, smiling, happy faces.
Well, I thought that the general overall feeling generated by these masks was really quite delightful.
Yeah.
There was
mm-hmm.
a delight in the air.
Yeah.
Or they looked right at you. You know, some of them, I think, had no expression that you could associate with an emotion, but it was a very piercing gaze. You know, you looked at that mask and it made you see yourself. Mm-hmm.
They all had kind of a timeless look in their eye.
Yeah.
Or no eye at all. Or no third eye.
Well, it really was like we invited 100 qualities to observe us all. As a community, and for us to interact with them.
Yeah, this would have gone nicely with your diversity conference last year.
I was taken, too, by the ones made by the children. There really wasn't, I didn't think, any different, you know, distinction in terms of quality. The ones the children made were very powerful and beautifully made, I thought. I don't know how many kids were involved, but I would think that if you keep this going on Saturday afternoons, there may be more children who might want to come in and participate in the mask making workshops.
We designed it as an adult. We were actually going to invite just artists that we knew, and then we started inviting more adults. So it was really designed as an adult affair, but some people brought some young people, and I invited a couple of young people to come along. And that's got me thinking too. Janet called that section the ICON's next generation, and it got me thinking about my responsibility as the director of ICON to think about ICON's next generation.
Yeah.
It may have to be a different, separate events because of things like the hot glue guns and things like that.
I think
you
so.
May have
and
to
part of that playfulness, I mean, although obviously adults and children can play at the same time. They both play differently if mm-hmm. it's preponderantly one or the other group.
So now we need a director of a youth director.
Yes, we need an icon youth director. So the call goes out to our listening audience.
That's right.
For an icon youth director.
That's right. I still have to say how happy I was and how impressed by the quality of community that I was experiencing the other night.
Yeah, it was great. There was a wonderful diversity of people coming in and out and interacting with each other in, in a different way than just bumping into each other on the square or in a restaurant.
And also the kind of community in the mask making workshops themselves, which we should remind you if you just tuned in, they're going to be every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4, is that right? From 1 to 4 at Icon Gallery to just continue this process of making masks together. And I found, too, it's a good mixer. It's a way to have conversations with people you don't normally run into every day and to meet new people. I met a couple of people I had never met before and had amazing conversations because it takes you a while to make the mask. If you're sitting next to somebody, you inevitably fall into a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's usually about something artistic. And so that was...
Well, I'm beginning to look at mask making as a Fairfield thing. It has touched such a chord and it's done so well. I'm thinking we can keep going, keep the mask making workshops going, have people thinking all year round about masks they would want to make, and have more events besides this Halloween party, how it all got started, where we can wear these masks. I mean, there's many ways that we can apply the use of the masks. Mm. I think we should have a Mardi Gras event, a carnival Mardi Gras party that's an icon party. I'm talking with some of the arts leaders in the town about a grand ball, an artist masquerade ball that all the arts organizations go together to do annually. And this could be an event that's known statewide.
With costumes.
And costume making can start to be part of our workshops.
Yeah, there were several people at the last mask making session who started talking about expanding into costume making in the same vein.
And then the theater people can come into the picture too, because I really love the kinds of events that merge all the different forms of art together in one big expression.
Mm-hmm. Well, one theater person, I can't remember right now who it was saying they want to design some one-act plays just for masks.
Mm. Yeah. Which goes back to ancient theater, which could be a whole other show because there's so many uses of masks
all of the
in ancient
mythic,
theater.
Sort of mask-wearing plays and events.
Yeah.
We will get you, Donna, on the research here of mask events that we could launch.
I already have, actually. I'm writing a novel, and it actually opens with one of the characters going to the House of Masks in Delos, Greece, on an island of ancient ruins. That's a hot topic for me.
I enjoyed my visit to Delos, the birthplace of Apollo.
Yeah. Very magical place.
So is there any points that we need to wind up? It's important for everyone to know that the final bidding party will be Saturday, October 21st, 1 to 4, and that should be a fun place to be, whether you're bidding or not on that day.
Between now and then, any Monday through Saturday, 1 to 4, you can come in and explore the masks and bid on them.
Which is a good idea because then it won't be crowded on those afternoons before the 21st. You can, at your leisure, choose your mask. And it's a reminder that it's an amazing way to donate to Icon Art Gallery and get this, something wonderful.
Yeah, I will point out that the whole trade-off here is that I provide the materials, and a few people are putting in a little bit of help with materials, but mostly I want to provide all this delightful stuff that you can't not want to just start diving into to play with. And the mask, molded mask faces to work with. And also we're going to teach some workshops on papier-mâché. And the plaster, making plaster masks. We're going to do more training of people
elaborate
in mask making.
Ones. Yeah, that would be great.
But the idea is that when you've made the mask at the end of the session, then you donate it back to ICON as a fundraiser. And, and it's a really effortless, easy way for people to get involved and have fun being creative and help ICON at the same time.
Cool.
Listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.